This is the Joey Salazar Leadership Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Joey Salazar Leadership Podcast. This is your friend Joey Salazar. As always, it's a privilege to be able to connect with you. Thank you so much for tuning in today. And also, a special shout out to all those who are sharing our podcast, different episodes, comments. Thank you so much. It really does help us spread the word and also continue adding value to other people, which is my absolute goal. Here recently, I've been on a journey on bringing on different mentors and friends and people who've added value to my life, people that I would love for you to meet, even if it is through this podcast. And today, is no exception. I have a conversation recorded with somebody I really admire and somebody who I really look up to and somebody who I've known for a really, really long time. Actually, since I was in Bible school, which is probably like 13 years ago or something like that. And so I've known this person. They've been completely consistent. And it's been really cool to see how God continues to use their life and just somebody who's always been available for my wife and I to kind of go to and ask for advice and just covering as well. I'm talking to none other than Pastor Jeffrey Portman. He is the CMN, which stands for Church Multiplication Network Director, and that is the branch of the Assemblies of God that helps plant churches. Before that, he currently serves in that role, but before that, he was a church planter, he was a pastor, and incredible just builder of leaders, incredible family man as well. I just honor him and the way he leads his family so well on several occasions. Even here recently, we've had the chance to have him and his wife come be a part of our church and come speak life here. And it's been incredible just spending time together with them. But nonetheless, we had a really great conversation. It's an honor for me to share this with you today. As always, I want to encourage you to lean in, take notes. And again, thank you so much for tuning in today. And we'll catch you on the next episode.
Well, hey, Pastor Jeffrey, thanks for being today on the call. How are you today?
I am fantastic. Pastor Joey, how are you?
I am doing wonderful. It really means a lot that you would be spending some time here with myself and our listeners. I launched this podcast with a goal to add value to people. And in this next season of the podcast, I wanted to bring people who've added value to my life. And you've been one of them. And so I'm just grateful that you make some time in your schedule for us.
I'm glad to. You bet.
I think one of my earliest memories of you was just, I think I met you through Pastor Mike and Pastor Mark.
Yeah.
And I think the relationship that you all have. And honestly, that was something that I've admired for years, just the relationship that you all have together and how you encourage each other. And honestly, it's been inspiring. It made me reflect and think, hey, who am I doing life with like that? Yeah. And so just thank you for your consistency and all that you do and your family. It's just the best. And so I'm excited for today's talk.
Likewise. Yeah. Those two guys are generals in the kingdom for sure. Mark Vega and Michael Fernandez are two of my favorite guys. So I love it.
So good. Well, hey, today we want to talk about leadership. And I know there's a lot of topics and there's a lot of definitions when it comes to leadership. And so I just want to pick your brain and just to kind of get a definition. What is leadership to you, or what comes to mind when you think of the phrase, the word leadership?
Yeah, I probably go with a bit of an old school definition. It's I would say it's simple, but not simplistic. And that is really influence, right? It's leveraging your influence, your gifts to rally or to direct people around a shared cause. And I think about the greatest leader ever, Jesus, and how he did that, right? So he led through the lens of a servant. That's what we read in the book of Philippians, right? Being the very nature of God, didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he took on the form of a servant. So I think leadership and service and servanthood are you can't separate them. Although when you hear the term service or servant, not everyone thinks leader. I think we'd benefit ourselves if every time I think leader, I think chief servant. How am I serving? How am I creating momentum for others. So
yeah,
that, maybe that's a long answer to your short question, but leadership is influence, and it's bringing out the best in others for a shared or common goal or objective.
I love that. I love that so much. And I'm really glad you brought up the word servant, leadership and service, because I think if we're not careful, we'll think that, you know, the more titles we have or the things we're accomplishing, it's like people now have to listen to us more. Where, sure, you know, in the kingdom, it's upside down, right? Like we get to serve more people. Help me unpack that a little bit more. Just that, okay, how important it is to have that servant leadership heart. Like, what are the dangers that what's the potential there to happen if we don't have that? Or what are the benefits that if we do have that?
Okay. Well, I think the susceptibility is to have everything become about me. Mm. And that's a dead end road. Again, I go back, the one guy who could have done that didn't. He made it about others, but then he took our place. He paid the price. He advocated for, right? And I think when we look at leadership through the lens of what can I get rather than what can I give, it becomes about us. And I think human nature is to put ourselves at the center, but you know, to have the DNA and the transformation that the gospel brings is to take ourselves out of the center. We're not the main thing. He's the main thing. And we're trying to propel and push people towards him. So when that's present, man, the church is an unstoppable force. It's beautiful. And there's momentum that is unstoppable. And then when that's lacking, there's a residue and a hurt and heartache that can be really significant too. And I'm grateful that I've had some really great godly men and women leaders in my life that have just modeled what it looks like to be others oriented. And
yeah,
I think that should mark leadership at its best. That's true whether you're a businesswoman or you're a leader in the community, you're a father or a mother. It's how can you add value to other people? Is really, I think, a great strategy to rally life around.
That's so good. And I think, you know, that quality, I think, will set us apart as leaders and make us even great, more effective. But honestly, it's gotta be inside of us first before we could ever really request it from other people. Yeah. Right. And I think you're an incredible servant leader. You were recently at our church, and even just your spirit, you're looking for ways to serve us. Even your wife, man, I was telling my wife, man, she's just the sweetest person in the world. Like her attitude and just things she would say and do. It's just like, man, that's so amazing. But what are some things, you know, that we can do as leaders to ensure that, hey, we don't ever get, you know, that quality of leading from a place of service, that remains in us? Or what are some things that we can do to cultivate a spirit like that, so that, you know, we don't start walking in paths that we shouldn't, or entitlement or things like that? Or how do you, in your personal life, just a practical level, what are some things you think about or things that you've applied to your life to ensure that your heart, my heart, is in the right place? We're leading from a healthy heart.
Well, I'll probably just start answering that by saying that's difficult. And yet it's worth doing, right? Mm. I think inherently when I don't feel recognized or valued or loved and respected, I try to fight for that. And so I think it's interesting. The root of insecurity is pride, right? And what's so incredible is the person who is insecure has a hard time elevating, celebrating, advocating for someone else. They think, how can I be elevated? So I think finding our identity in Christ is by far the most important thing we can do to ensure that we take the attitude of a servant. You used the term a second ago, I think is a really good word, and that's entitlement. And entitlement is just like cancer to our spirit, right? Mm. It keeps us from, it's interesting because we're priceless. In Christ, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Like, so we are a masterpiece. And simultaneously, we are, compared to who God is, we're just like little grain on the, of sand on the seashore, right? So it's this, that's where finding our identity in Christ. So whatever your assignment is, so entitlement, I think, hijacks us and it hinders us from having a healthy dependence. It just, it points all the arrows onto me. That's just not kingdom-mindedness. That's not Christianity at its best. Now, with that said, we're all under construction, right?
Sure.
I mean, I say kiddingly that we're all IKEA projects, some assembly, right? So I think that's true of every leader as well.
That's so good. I love when you say it's difficult, but it's worth doing.
Yeah.
And I had to write that down because I think those are the things that will separate us. And as far as from good to great leaders, but also leaders that are truly making a difference. And yeah. We can stay within our comfort zone. We can stay and just do the easy stuff. But I don't think that that's ultimately what God really calls us to.
Right.
But God calls us to do the stuff, even difficult, but worth doing.
Yeah. One other thought on that is, if I replicate me, is that good? Right?
Wow. Yeah.
The reminder for us is we're not supposed to make duplicates. We're supposed to make disciples. And wow. A duplicate is I'm trying to make someone look a lot like me, language, action, dress. Making disciples is they're going to look more like Jesus. And I think that's where we really start to win in developing others and in the process developing ourselves.
That's so good. I love that. I love that. Because I wonder if we were all honest with ourselves, if everybody prayed like us, if everybody yeah. worshiped like us, right? Yeah. Or even the things that maybe sometimes we're calling out people's attention, hey, you know, for showing up late or turning in projects late. I think it's always a great reminder to look within first, you know, because like you just said, we duplicate who we are, right? Or we reproduce who we are. And so that is so good. I was just writing that down.
Yeah.
But let me talk to you a little bit about just the importance though of leading yourself well. Mm-hmm. You know what? We wanna have the right heart. We want to lead with the right spirit and take care of others. But I think it definitely begins with us. Can you talk a little bit about why it's so important for us to be able to lead ourselves well first, even before we ever get to a place of position or authority or things like that?
Man, I think self-leadership is the hardest leadership we ever you'll always be the hardest person you ever lead.
Mm.
Okay? It's easier for me to want to bring out the best in someone else because I don't have to do all of the heavy lifting to develop them. It's easier for me to highlight and pinpoint areas where they need to grow and be strengthened. It's harder when I'm self-assessing and realizing, man, I got to strengthen, I got to grow, I've got to make some adjustments in this area. So self-leadership is like I said earlier, it's difficult but worth doing, and it requires intentionality. I think the best leaders are healthy leaders. I think overcoming the setbacks we've had, and you know, you've taught and preached this probably better than I would, that setbacks are really setups, right? I mean, when it feels like we're being buried, we're really being planted. Like all these metaphors that are true. But I think it comes down to believing God isn't done developing us. And so I'm willing to do either the hard thing or the next best thing to develop me. And
so good.
That doesn't happen intuitively. I think we need voices, mentors, and coaches to help us with that.
Yeah. And I love you started talking about that towards the end, because I wanted to ask you, what are some of those practical things that you do? Because your husband, your father, you're a leader of CMN, you're a communicator, you're a pastor to pastors, man. And I feel like you lead yourself so well, but what are some of those tools that you've developed along the way, or what are some of the voices, maybe not necessarily like the who's, but like why did you see that as so important, and how do you go about that so that in our busy lives and our busy schedules, yeah. that doesn't just become like something like, oh, maybe one day when, but like, no, it's active and it's showing up in your life.
Yeah. Well, to speak that a little bit, I think for all of us, we have to figure out the best rhythm for healthy relationships, the best rhythm for connecting with God relationally. And in running, it's like you have to pick the right pace, right?
Yeah.
I think for all of us, Pastor Joey, we have to figure out when am I at my best? And am I doing the things that matter most when I'm at my best? Or am I doing things that matter most when I'm on my fumes or on the tail end of my energy and my best attention? So, I mean, some practice, I spend time in the Word every day. And it doesn't mean I read, 10 chapters every day. Some days I do, but I'm just spending time in the Word. We read in Proverbs, keep falsehood and lies far from me, right? And I think we're able to differentiate and distinguish between truth and a lie when we're close to the voice of God, right? There's this prompting in the Spirit, right? I think Mark 1:35 says, very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up, went to a solitary place where he prayed. Like, what a pattern and model for us. So time in the Word, communion with the Father. I think doing things that breathe life into you. And there's something that God set in motion, a Sabbath or sabbatical that is critical. And I think it's easy for pastors to really have a hard time with this because the rhythm of the work week for people is Monday through Friday. For pastors, Saturday and Sunday are often ministry times, right? Yeah. So if we have a regular work week and then we get into the weekend, it's easy for us to be I'll just take a break later. And then some always comes up. And there's a great resource called The Tyranny of the Urgent. And the author is Charles Hummel. And this is like 70 years ago. But he said, our greatest danger is letting the urgent crowd out the important. And I think we've got to set in motion things where the urgent is always going to be there, but are we putting energy and time into what's most important? So that's health, physically, emotionally, spiritually. If you're married, that's with you and your spouse. If you're a parent, of course, it's with your kids. And what's interesting about the kids is you never get that time back. I've heard pastors say, well, I know I've been going really hard, so I'm just going to spend some really intentional time. And I'm for intentional time, like chunks of time. But I think sometimes this whole idea of whoever spends the most time wins. And I think to create intentional, they're not always big stuff. It's not always, oh, we're going to make it up on vacation. I don't know that we can make stuff up. I think we just try to leverage and maximize what we have. And so I think creating plans and pathways and checks and balances to make sure I'm taking breaks, I'm honoring the Sabbath, I'm in the Word, I'm staying healthy, physically fit. So for me, I travel a lot, right? So do I always do this? No, sometimes I'm horrible at it, but I try not to eat late. Okay. For me, I want to eat. Like my favorite thing is to eat. People say, what do you do when you're tired? Eat. What do you do when you're depressed? I eat. How do you celebrate? Typically I'll eat. I mean, right. So those, food's a gift from God. I really think it's like one of God's ways of saying you're going to get Absolutely. A glimpse of how good I am. Right. So I'm not anti food, but we can have unhealthy outlets that have a ripple effect on our physical and then emotional and spiritual health. Right. So I think like when I'm traveling, not every place has a gym. Right. So, and you don't have to be a gym rat to be physically fit. You can just do stuff, sit-ups and push-ups and whatever. But I'm saying there, you have to have a strategy and a plan. Now I know people that are naturally just fit. I'm like, you're stupid, right? Everyone else, normal people have to try harder, right?
Exactly.
So I think just setting a motion, like what are my goals? And then what steps am I willing to take to get there? And I think, and I'll finish with this, most people don't do hard things, but they could. And I know there's plenty of seasons where I'm a slacker and coasting, but I want my life to be marked by like, I'm not afraid to do hard things and go to places I never thought I could go.
That's so good. I think, you know, as I hear you talk and share that, I think that maybe we have, and myself included, and our listeners, maybe we've been seeing hard things as the wrong things. I don't know if maybe, like, you know, there might be people on this listening to this, or maybe I'm trying to reflect on just my past. Maybe we've had the wrong mindset where we saw difficult things as a sign, like, okay, this is not the way I'm supposed to go. You know, okay. And I just wonder.
Burden is easy and his yoke is light.
Yeah.
That should be easy.
Yeah. I wonder if maybe we've had it backwards, you know, where it's like, no, you know what? Maybe the fact that it is tough, maybe that is the way you're supposed to go, because maybe God's trying to build something in you.
Well, that's the testing of our faith. James writes, the testing of our faith develops perseverance. And this is James 1:2-4, right? And perseverance must finish its work so that you can become mature and complete, not lacking anything.
Yes. So,
I mean, I think when we think about Jesus's yoke is easy and his burden's light, that doesn't make him going to the cross easy.
Yeah.
So I think we can have that verse out of context and kind of have it get hijacked. And I think if anyone should be striving, and I'm not talking about for salvation, but like striving to have their life go somewhere on purpose, for a purpose, it should be Christians.
Yeah. You know, and maybe there's some people listening right now and you have a big dream, you have a goal, and it seems hard. I want to encourage you right now that, you know what, maybe the fact that it's hard, it's not necessarily a sign, it's an attack from the enemy. Maybe it's just, it's what you're supposed to do next, and right. It's not going to be easy, but like Pastor Jeff has said before, you know, but it's going to be worth it. Mm. And so I just think that a perspective change is maybe required for some of us in the way we're seeing things, that it's supposed to develop us. And I think that when we get to a place where we are able to submit under God's ruling and just allow him to do whatever he wants to do in our lives, and we put in the work to develop as leaders, then I think God will see that as, hey, I can trust you with now my sons and daughters.
Yeah. I mean, that's the parable of the talents, right? The cat who buried his talent because he thought he had a bad master got nothing. His was given to the guy who did something with his talents, right?
Yeah.
And one other thing that's so valuable about doing difficult or hard things is after you've got completed with it, or you even got close, you realize we can do hard things. And I think our the breadth and our capacity is often greater than what we allow or even try to accomplish. And I'm not saying strive even. I'm just saying if you have a dream, go for it. And I agree, those listening, dream big dreams. So let's say you step out in faith and you accomplish something. I mean, you get close to accomplishing. You start that business. You know, you pursue that health or financial goal. You write that book. You start that ministry, and you get most of the way there. Well, think about the growth that happened in you doing those day in, day out, the daily discipline of it. You'll never be worse for it, right? So I think it's worth going for. Like, I love that you launched this podcast, Pastor Joey. I love it. I think you're helping develop people around the nation and probably around the world because of it. And it wouldn't be available to them. People can't access or benefit from something they don't know about. So you doing the heavy lifting and doing something, you know, that you'd never done before will have a ripple effect in other people's lives.
Absolutely. And let's talk about that a little bit, the impact that we now get to have on others, because you leave an incredible organization. You're also pastoring before this as well. And when it comes to, you know, now looking outside of ourselves, not just leading ourselves well, but leading others well, I'm always curious to see what are some of the guiding principles or values or traits that you keep in mind when working with others or with those that you get to help lead. Are there any, what principles or virtues do you keep in mind when you're leading them that, hey, I've learned these things along the way, either things I want to do or things I don't want to do, but what are some of those things that help you effectively lead others now?
Well, I think a couple of principles that are both stated and just lived is it's people over programs. And it doesn't mean programs don't matter, but the whole purpose for a program is for people. Like when you turn your phone on, you turn your laptop on, there's programs that are actually you're utilizing, right? But all of that is to benefit and to strengthen people. Now, I realize that breaks down a little bit when it's like, I'm not calling someone, but if you're taking a picture, it's to show somebody at some point or to remember a moment.
Yeah.
I think another principle is in leadership is we say we want more for you than from you. And when the person that you're leading knows I want more for them than from them, it goes from me using them to me utilizing their gifts. And like you use a Kleenex, but you utilize people, right?
Yeah.
You don't want a Kleenex, you throw it away. You used it. And that had a purpose. But I mean, God designed people to have gifts that are different and complementary. And so you utilize their gifts rather than when someone feels used, they're not going to hang with you very long, right? And I think the whole principle of Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I think there's value in just speaking life. I mean, I'll say this, Pastor Joy. I don't, excuse me. I don't know anyone who's too encouraged, but I know a lot of people who wrestle with discouragement, right? Yeah. A deficit of the courage. So I think in leadership, one of our jobs is to see something and say something, to speak life and to call out the greatness in people. And I think those qualities are what Jesus did. And that's the person, of course, who we're wanting to emulate.
I love what you just shared. What really stood out to me was we want more for you than from you.
Yeah.
And I think about, the church world, obviously that's where a lot of us, we serve in. And I think even the way we present certain things, you know, it absolutely matters. So even like, you know, I don't know if there's many, many churches who would say that, hey, you know, they have too many volunteers. You know, right. I know that we're always recruiting and trying to help people step into their purpose. But even in that, you know, the way you present serving opportunities is like, we don't need you here. It's, hey, there's a blessing that comes for you
right.
While serving. And so can you unpack that one a little bit more? Just we want more for you than from you.
Well, so in building teams, the wrong question to ask is how many people do I need?
Wow.
The right question to ask is how many people can we engage? And it's, you know, it's insecurity makes me want to have the smallest team possible so that I'm kind of the man or, you know, now security says, I want to give away ownership. I want to share. And I'll say it this way. We never lose influence by sharing it. We actually gain more. And, wow. And it feels a little bit like, oh, I'm losing control. No, you're gaining more by creating space for other people. You're doing for others what they couldn't do for themselves. And I think that ties into, I want more for you than from you. And how that plays out is allowing people who aren't quite as good at you at something still do it because they get better by practicing. And it's creating space for people. And I think great leaders do that. And I mean, again, we're just using Jesus as our example. The tension comes. So this is where, I mean, just to be like unfiltered, right? So let's say for a pastor, hey, I'm not going to have anyone else do and fill in the blank because I'm better at that than you are. Well, who's the one guy who could have said that about everything? Jesus.
Yeah.
But he said, hey, I'm come follow me. And I'll make you fishers of men. And so he gave them opportunities. He sent them out two by two. There's power and partnership. Two are better than one, right? And then they came back and they reported. And that was both an encouragement moment, but also I think correction and direction moment that he brought. And all of that was because he wants more for them than from them. In fact, he said, you'll do even greater things than these. And we're like, wow. That's crazy. Well, he wasn't kidding. He didn't be like, wink, wink. Because he knew that we had the power of the Holy Spirit at work. And he's also interceding for us at the right hand of God the Father. So leadership is an invitation to submit ourselves to God, but also to create pathways for other people they couldn't have made possible for themselves.
Yes, that is so good. You were dropping some fire nuggets there. I hope people are definitely taking notes. Even just the question, the wrong question that you were just mentioning that we ask sometimes versus the right questions we ask. And I think, again, a lot of it, I say this often, but it's really about perspective. It's the way we see things, the way we communicate things. We paint pictures for people. And so if us as leaders, we're called to help move people, then I think we got to have the clear picture of where we're taking people on the journey.
Can I jump in on that? Because there's
like
the whole idea that clarity brings confidence. So, and I would say if it's not clear to me, it'll never be clear to we. So I want to lead my team well. That means I have to have clarity. So clarity brings confidence. Confusion brings chaos. And you have houses divided because there's not clarity from whoever's leading. And leading doesn't mean domineering or bossing people around, but it does mean speaking clear vision. And at CMN, we would say it's clear vision. It's clear, compelling, and consistent. And that's so helpful because then people know where we're going and why we're going there.
That's so good. Clear, consistent, and compelling?
Yeah, clear, compelling, and then consistent. Okay.
Perfect.
They're all interchangeable, but I think that order matters too.
Yeah.
And it, no one's going to say yes to something that's not clear over and over. They might say yes initially because they like you, but they're not going to stay with you if what you have to say is unclear. Compelling means I'm willing to invest time, energy, money, my life, my gifts towards this. If it's not compelling, I might show up because I like you, but I'm not going to stay because we're not doing anything that has kingdom impact. And consistent is our tendency is to not give things time to grow and mature. And people change super slow, starting with me. So if we are inconsistent in our vision, it's hard for people to grab onto it and live it out.
That's so good. I know one of the things that we measure here at our church, here at Journey Church, is growth and retention. Because like you were just talking about, those are two different things, you know, for people to sign up to join the team, but it's a whole other thing for people to stay on the team.
Yes. And we celebrate both.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Well, I love that we got to talk a little bit about team building. And I want to ask you as we begin to wrap up our conversation, maybe there is a leader who is listening and they're kind of looking at their context and their situation, and maybe their team isn't where they want it to be. And obviously, we're going to take ownership as leaders, but maybe they're just feeling a little discouraged right now. Maybe they're going through a hard moment, a hard season, and they're part of the phase of the dream where it's just really hard and they feel like giving up. Could you maybe share an encouraging word and then pray for us as well to wrap up the call? Yeah.
Well, first of all, let me say to that pastor or leader, you're not alone. So anytime you step out in faith and you do hard things and you just honor and obey God, you're going to have some adversity. I think adversity is a reminder that you're going somewhere that matters. And it also reminds you can do difficult things. It creates a dependence on God in us that's really important. And we think dependence is weakness, but it's actually wisdom.
Wow.
I'm leaning into who God is and Him as my source. I'm leaning into the Word, right? And to the person that's discouraged, I would say this, just look for a couple little wins. Unfortunately, we celebrate a home run. That's what's on SportsCenter. Ba-na-na-na-na-na. That's what we see, right? But four base hits are better than one home run. And more people can hit base hits than can hit home runs. So part of our job as a leader is to create a culture where people celebrate big, but also little wins. So to that person that's in a season of either wrestling, or that's true for all of us, celebrate the little wins that are moving you towards your mission. So God, we thank you for everyone who's listening, those who are watching. We're just grateful, God, that the work you started in us, you said you'll be faithful to complete it. And God, as much as it's up to us, we want to be people who are continue to grow, continue to put ourselves in places and spaces and positions to live out your call, your divine design for our life. And I thank you for Pastor Joey and for their team. I thank you for the every listener. God, I pray strength and courage into them. And God, may we join you on your mission to seek and save the lost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, Pastor Jeffrey, thank you once again for being with us today.
Got it.
And to all those listening, thanks so much for tuning in. We will catch you on the next episode. Have a great one.
Thank you for tuning in. For more information and additional resources, check out joeysalazar.org and follow him on Instagram at joeysalazar. Please feel free to rate, review, share, and subscribe. Once again, thank you so much for joining the Joey Salazar Leadership Podcast.